you got your Bible, would turn to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16 for our thoughts today and our message today. Amen. Amen. Good songs sung by the congregation, sung by the specials. Amen. You can't beat it. Just to be honest with you, you can't beat it. Amen. And thank God for it. Amen. Acts chapter number 16 is probably pretty much a familiar text of Scripture. The text I'm going to use is familiar to you, I'm sure, especially since this past Sunday we just did our Faith Promise Missions Sunday. If we'd had a regular Faith Promise conference somewhere in the meeting, you'd have heard about this text and a phrase that's taken from this text. And I'm going to use that this morning, not in missions. I'm not continuing on the thought of missions conference, so to speak, but just in the message as the Lord has laid it upon our heart. Acts chapter number 16, I'll begin with verse number 9. Since you are familiar with it, I don't think I need to go through and give you a whole lot of background and emphasis as to what's going on. But look at verse 9 and we'll pick up there and read through verse number 12. The Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, loosened from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the same day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days." I'm gonna stop reading there, and you've got the context, the idea that Paul saw the vision. I'm going to deal with that vision this morning. I want to preach on the Macedonian call. That's my title, the Macedonian call. And pray that God might bless the message as I try to preach it. Brother Josh Hunt, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, we thank you for the day we're in your house.
Yes.
Help
us, Lord. You know our need. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, in the text that I read, as I said, we know about that phrase, the Macedonian call. Matter of fact, I didn't ask Brother Philip to sing that song, but I've got the first two lines of it written in my notes. Charles Gabriel wrote the song, and the song "Send the Light." And we sing those first two verses, both start with a phrase. It says, first verse says, there's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light. Send the light. The second verse starts off, we have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light. Send the light. That's what's taking place in the text that I read before you there in the scripture. And we see that Paul and his companions are now at a crossroads when it comes to ministry. It's been Paul and Silas primarily. You know, before that was Paul and Barnabas. They had the fallout and it became Paul and Silas that went their way. Barnabas took Mark and went his way. And it looks like that the church sanctioned Paul's sending forth because it said they went, and I can't remember the exact phrase, but with the blessing of the church and deals with that idea. And so Paul and Silas now are together. They picked up Timothy there at Lystra and Iconium and Derbe in that area. They picked up Timothy to their crew. And then we find in verse number 10 that Luke joins them. Although he doesn't make an official announcement, he just starts instead of talking about they and he and them, all of a sudden he's talking about we. And so he says in verse number 10, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." And so Luke is involved in that. So Paul and his companions have come to a crossroads in their ministry. And if you'd read the verses prior to this, you'd find that they start to go here and God says no. They start to go there and God forbids that. And it's not that God's not interested in those places ever here in the gospel. It's either that the timing's not right or it's not in Paul's job to go. Perhaps somebody else is going to that particular place. And you'll find later that there are churches in those places. And Paul actually visits those places in other times. So it's not that God did not want those areas to have the gospel. It was just not for Paul's band of ministers to go to that place at their time. And so they're attempting to find direction from the Lord and find out where God wanted them to go in their evangelism ministry and church planting ministry. And in the verses that we see before us, we see that God's not only been shutting doors and limiting areas, but he's getting ready to show them a wide open door, we might say. Here's what I believe. I believe by God shutting those doors, he was corralling them right in the very place that he wanted them to go. He was limiting them, not because he wanted them limited, but because he had a special purpose and a particular goal that he had in mind. And so he was limiting them for that purpose. And so we see in our text, they've come to the western edge of Asia. They're looking over the Aegean Sea. They're looking into Europe. They're looking into the Greek and Roman part of the world. They're leaving the Asians, the Orientals, by the way, where the gospel was first preached and where the hometown of the gospel perhaps was at. They were leaving that area and they're looking across the sea to that other area. And I say this, they were not looking for an easy place. They were not looking for a place they thought might be more successful than where they were, but they were looking for the perfect will of God. As to where, amen, as to where to spread the gospel, amen. And in our job, whether you're knocking on doors or whether you're just witnessing to people, I'm not against broad scattering the seed, but we ought to pray God give us right direction to the very right one. Don't just look for the easy one. Don't just look for the most possible successful one, but look for the perfect will of God. Amen. And so that's what they've been waiting on. And now God gives them that leadership. Paul was the leader of this group. Amen. He's the apostle of the group. And so God gives him a vision that implied to him where they were to go next. Now this, we don't have visions that way today. We don't rely on visions like that today. Because we've got a complete canon of scripture. We've got a whole Bible now. We have the indwelling Holy Ghost within us now. We're led by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen. And so we're not led by the visions as Paul was at this time. But in that vision, he saw a man of Macedonia that cried out to him and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now the next morning, they deliberated about that vision. They talked about that vision among them. And you see that in verse number 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Amen. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So they talked about it. They came to a conclusion. This is God's will. This is where God wants us to go. And so they chose to go with him in that way. I said, we don't do that as far as the visions are concerned. That was something supernatural, something apostolical, amen, that is not with us now. As I said, we've got the Holy Spirit and the full canon of scriptures that can guide us, and thank God for it. But if you will allow me, if I can, to paint a picture and give you a mental picture of this man that might be standing and the call that's going forth requesting help. That's what he's doing. He said, come over and help us. And I want us to think about getting a vision, letting our eyes be open, our ears be open, that we might hear somebody calling for help, that we might see somebody calling for help, and that we might spread the gospel message literally around the world. Amen. Having said that, I've got 4 points I want to deal with this morning and think about this case and give some distinctions about the case, and I try to give an application to it as well. Number one, I want you to notice there was a man. In verse number 9, it's very plainly, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. It was not an angel giving directions. It was a man. Amen. It was not a king given an invitation, said our country would like to host you and we'd like to have you have a crusade in our country. No, it was not a king given an invitation. It was simply an ordinary man asking for help. Amen. Amen. It was not a philosopher given advice. It was not an artist painting a picture. It was not a priest making an invocation. It was not a warrior standing guard. Rather, it was a common man asking for help. Can I just say, this is what I take from that. People need help. People need help. There's a song, and I don't know who wrote that song, People Need the Lord. Do you remember that? Very popular song for a while. People need help. People do need the Lord. Not just some people. People everywhere need the Lord. Amen. Need help. If you come out of our parking lot, if you turn right, head back towards town, you will pass businesses and a nice housing development. And I'll guarantee you that in those businesses and in that housing development, there are people that need help. If you were to drive just a little further, you'd go by a nursing home where there are people that need help. If you continue to drive, you'd cross the interstate and come into more business. And whether they're having business or not, I'll guarantee you there are people there that need help. They need help at Lowe's. They need help at Kroger. They need help at Huck's. They need help in the motels. Amen. They even need help at the Ford place. Amen. They need help at those places. But that's if you turned right. If you come out of our parking lot and you turn left, you'll immediately go by an apartment complex, apartment buildings. It's full of people that need help. If you keep going, you'd come by another really nice residential area of housing development, nice big houses. And even in those big houses, they need help. They need the Lord. If you keep going, it'll get a little bit more sparse, but you'll see house after house after house. My point is, people need help everywhere. You don't have to go to Africa to find people needing help. You don't have to go to China. You don't have to go to Japan. Amen. You don't have to go across the waters. There's people probably across the street, perhaps across the pew, that need help from the Lord. Amen. I'm just simply saying there are, wherever you go, you'll see people that need help. Hospitals are full of people that need help. Jails are filled with people that need help. Amen. Nursing homes, I've already said, they need help. Businesses are staffed with people that need help. I'm simply saying, look around you. Amen. If you can see the vision, there's somebody crying for help. Amen. It's not just the drunkards that need help. Schoolboys and girls need help too. It's not just gamblers and prostitutes and druggies that need help. They do need help. It's not just them. There's a lot of people never touched a beer, never said a curse word, never smoked a joint, don't sell their body. And yet they need help from the Lord. Amen. They're in desperate need of spiritual help. Now you might say, why don't they ask for help? Can I say to you, maybe they are in the only way they know how. Maybe they are. I thought about this, particularly thinking about Nicole, the young lady that they found dead. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail there. Her sister that they found dead last year, murdered. A man stabbed her to death in a motel. She is living a sodomite lifestyle. She is selling her body. Drugs were involved. Man stabbed her to death in a bathtub and drove to Washington, D.C. Early in the morning, he met a police officer on the street and he flagged the police officer down with blood all over him. He said, I need help. I think I've killed somebody. Out of his mind, no doubt, with drugs. I don't know all the circumstances. What I told you is what I know about that. That little girl's name was Kayla. When she was a little girl, I baptized her in the creek at Vision Baptist Church when her family joined our church and they all said they'd gotten saved. I baptized that little girl that became a lesbian, that became a druggie, that sold her body, that's murdered. I baptized her sister that they just found Friday night or Friday morning, I think, somewhere in Washington, D.C., they found her. I baptized that young lady, living a terrible lifestyle. Her mama and her stepmama and her daddy are raising her four children that are probably from four different men, to be honest with you. She never married one. I'm not fussing, but I'm saying that girl was calling out for help. Amen. But a lot of times we're so busy with our life, we don't hear it. We don't see it. We don't notice it. Amen. And so you say, why don't they ask for help? Well, if you look and you say, this man did. But when Paul got to Philippi, when Paul went over into Macedonia to try to help them, and the first person that got saved was Lydia. But Lydia did not come up to Paul and say, I need help. Lydia was looking for help. The only way she knew how, she was at a prayer meeting by a riverside where some Jews met to call on God. And Paul went and preached to her. And that's when she got her help. Amen. The Lord opened her heart. The second person got saved in Philippi was another woman, a young lady, demon possessed, making money. Matter of fact, all the commentators call her a pythoness. She dealt with snakes. And that's how they tell fortunes, and dealing with some of that fortune telling stuff that's very common in the Orient and in Asia and that part of the world. And she was making her money, but she didn't run up to Paul and say, I need help. I need deliverance from these demons, and I need deliverance from these snakes, and I need deliverance from these men that's making money off me. She didn't run up to him and ask for help. She started, that demon inside of her started crying out, these are the men of God that preach unto us the way of salvation. And Paul rebuked the devils. Amen. Paul preached and she got saved, I believe, and delivered. Demon had to leave. Amen. And then the men realized they'd lost their money making opportunity. And so, in long story short, they throw Paul and Silas in jail. You know the story. You say, yeah, but now the Philippian jailer, he ran up to Paul and asked, what must I do to be saved? That's not how it started. First time he saw Paul, he didn't run up to him and ask him about salvation. Matter of fact, more than likely, the first time he saw Paul, he added to his beatings. He added to his bonds. Amen. Had him thrown into prison. And in the middle of the night, the prisoners heard Paul and Silas singing praises unto God. Amen. I've heard people argue that said when that man came, broke in the middle of the night and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said he wasn't talking about soul salvation. His won't be delivered from the Romans. No, he wasn't. He is getting ready to kill himself. That would have delivered him from the Romans. By the way, that was the chief way that the Romans knew to get out of trouble. Suicide. That's how they killed themselves over and over and over in Roman history. You study it out. Many of the Caesars died of suicide. Many of the emperors died of suicide. Many of the soldiers died of suicide. It was actually not something looked down upon. It was something they applauded and thought was a wonderful and had a lot of valor in it. And I tell you, that's the worst thing you can do for your family. It's the cruelest thing you could ever do for somebody that cares about you. You say, nobody does care about me. You're wrong. You're wrong. Amen. I realize that around these times of year, gets dark quick, and because of the lack of sunlight, because of the lack of being able to get out, and even now with some of these restrictions, suicide's on an uptick this time of year. It commonly is. People are missing people. They're feeling bad about things, and they get depressed, and they try to kill themselves. That's what that man was doing. But thank God that he found out there's something better. Amen. Found out there's something better. They said, well, how did he know about salvation? What do you think Paul and Silas was singing about? He wasn't singing about getting beaten. He wasn't singing about that demon crowd running them out of town. What was he singing about? They're singing about being saved by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. They're shouting about being saved by the grace of God. And that man said, you got something I don't have. I need that. Amen. What must I do to be saved? Amen. Can I tell you, me and you, we find ourselves in trouble. Let's don't sing about our troubles. Amen. Let's sing about our Savior. Yes, amen. Let somebody see Jesus in us. Amen. He had first beat them, no doubt. He had bound them in bonds and stocks and cast them into prison. Paul had to preach to him. And then he got saved by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. This week I read a story about a man that was traveling in a foreign country. And I got a couple of these. And when I read these stories, I did not know I was going to use them as the illustration of my sermon. But last night, when I was ironing out my thoughts, these came back to me and I was reminded of it. A man traveling in a foreign country. He was going in a particular city in that country. It was about a century ago. He said as he was entering into the gates of that city, he passed by. He noticed a man sitting there in rags and in filth. He noticed that as he passed by, the man didn't say anything. The man didn't hold out a can. The man didn't call out for help. He didn't say anything. And so the man just walked on by. But in a moment, his conscience struck him and caused him to go back. And he went back to the man and he said, "Sir, why aren't you begging? Why aren't you begging? You're obviously in need. You should beg for help." And the story said that the man reached up his bony little arm, pulled back his filthy, ragged sleeve, and held up his bony arm and said, "I'm begging with 1,000 tongues. I'm begging with 1,000 tongues. His point was, everything about me screams, "I need help. Can't you see I need help? Do you need somebody to knock you in the head to see I need help?" Amen. I'm afraid when we pass by people on the street, all those markings on them, all those piercings on them, all that outfit, the way they're doing, is screaming out for help. And we say, "I wish they'd just ask. Lord, help us. Lord, help us." Amen. I'm afraid people all around us begging with 1,000 tongues, but we can't seem to hear them. Amen. If we'd only look at them, we'd see they're begging, not just with their mouths. Amen. More than likely, you live near some that are like that. More than likely, you work with some that are like that. Even a good chance some of us might have had Thanksgiving meal with some that are like that. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us to see men not as trees walking, but as they are, men in need of help. Amen. And I ask the question, can you hear the Macedonian call? That song said, "There's a call, come ringing o'er the restless wave, send the light, send the light." But then that second verse, "We have heard the Macedonian call today." Can you hear that? Number two, not only was there a man, number two, he was from Macedonia. No, these are just simple things in our text. Verse 9, "There stood a man of Macedonia." Now, how Paul knew that, I'm not positive. I read several commentators to see what they said that they thought about it. And of course, they're like me. They'd have to read into it because they don't know. Perhaps Paul could tell by the way he was dressed. Perhaps Paul could tell by the way he spoke. Perhaps Paul could tell by the surroundings that he could see around him. Maybe God just supernaturally said, "This man's from Macedonia." I don't know. But he said, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Amen. So he was a man from Macedonia. Here's what my point about that. This man did not represent only one individual. I've used that before. That Paul, and this is the way I've looked at it, and it blessed me to think about it. When Paul goes over in there, it's because he saw a man in a vision. But the first person that got saved was not a man. It was a woman. Lydia, seller purple. Paul said, "I'm looking for a man." And then when he goes on and hears the next person gets saved, again, not a man. It's a young woman, devil-possessed woman. Paul said, "But I'm looking for a man." All of a sudden they come lock him up, throw him in jail. And Paul and Silas down there in jail. And I just used my imagination. I said, I wonder if Paul poked... Pope Silas said, "Cheer up, I believe I just recognized that jailer." I don't know, but here's what I do know. That man did not just represent one individual. That man represented a whole group of people. He represented a whole nation of people. He represented a whole continent of people. He represented a whole world of people that need help. Amen. There are still places today that need somebody to come over and give them the gospel message. Amen. It might be the jail. It might be a nursing home. It might be a co-worker. It might be in a foreign country. It might be a nearby neighborhood. It might be the only church you're at. By the way, little boys and girls in this church need somebody to teach them about Jesus. They need somebody to pray for their soul. Amen. Amen. God does not just send people to people. He sends them to places. That's what he did with them. Amen. Paul was not just looking for that man. He was going into that place. And that was the place that God had caused them to go to. And I say this, this way I wrote it in my notes. I believe it's right. Perhaps you live where you do because God wants you to witness to that place. Perhaps you work where you do because God wants you to witness to that place. Amen. Perhaps you shop where you do. You say, I shop there because they got bargains. Who you think made them give the bargains? He didn't do that just because they felt good. Listen, businesses do not sit around and say, let's see if we can save people money. I know they call you and they say, we're trying to save you. No, they're not. They're trying to get you in their store. That's why they run a special on paint so they can make money on paint brushes. They know you ain't going to put it on with your hands. Amen. But my point is, maybe you shop where you do because God calls that and God wants you to be a witness where you shop. Maybe you go to church where you do because God wants you to be a witness where you're going to church. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're in the family you're in because God wants you to be a witness. I'm just simply saying, can you hear the Macedonian call? Can you hear it? There was a man. Number two, he was from Macedonia. Number three, there was a mandate. A mandate. There's a cry. What was he crying? Come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 9. Last part. Come over into Macedonia and help us. The phrase, come over, indicates to me there are some obstacles along the way. It's not going to be easy straight. Most people that you're going to witness to, it's not going to be easy to witness to them. There's going to be some things overcome. Amen. You have to overcome your own fear. Your own bashfulness. Amen. You have to overcome some of those difficulties and problems that come in the way. In this case, there were oceans to cross, mountains to climb, valleys to walk through, obstacles to overcome. But here's why. Because people across that ocean need help. Because people across that mountain need help. Because people across that valley need help. Because people on the other side of those obstacles need help. Do you hear the Macedonian call? Amen. We gotta cross those mountains, cross those oceans, cross those valleys, overcome those obstacles successfully. If we're going to give them the gospel and if those people are going to be reached. Amen. Nobody ever said that witnessing for Jesus was going to be easy. At one time, my wife and I have told this in the past, and the Bible says confession is good for the soul. At one time, my wife and I tried to sell Amway. That's not an easy thing to do. Everybody in the world's heard about Amway. Amen. But here's what I believe. I believe it's easier to try to sell Amway than it is to witness to somebody about Jesus. Amen. Nobody ever said it's going to be easy. Nobody ever said living for God and giving out the gospel is going to have no difficulties. The cry was, come over and help us. Get over some of that. Get over yourself. Get over your fears. Get over the obstacles. Get over here and help us. Will we get the gospel over to them? Amen. The people of Macedonia did not just need civilizing. They were civilized for their day and time. They needed the Savior. Amen. They didn't need more hospitals. Maybe they did need more hospitals, but that wasn't what Paul was going over there for. That's my point. They didn't just need nicer schoolhouses and nicer jailhouses. They didn't just need better education facilities. They needed the Savior. Amen. And that's what our world needs today. Amen. How could they believe on Him whom they've never heard? How would they hear about Him if nobody ever preached to them? Paul heard the Macedonian call and Paul went and gave them the gospel. Amen. Number four, my last point's this. There was a movement. Or there was movement. I won't say a movement, makes it sound like it was one particular thing. There was movement. There was a man, there was a Macedonian, there was a mandate, there was movement. Verse 10 says, right in the middle of that, immediately we endeavored to go. Immediately we endeavored to go. I ask the question, why did God allow Paul to have this vision? I believe it's because Paul was looking where to go. Paul was ready to go. Paul was willing to go. Paul was prepared to go. He just needed to know where to go. Amen. Perhaps we'll say, well, you know, I don't really feel like God's calling me anywhere. Are you prepared so He could call you? Amen. Are you in a position that you would follow if you just hear the call?
Amen.
Amen. Paul heard because he was ready to listen. Paul was willing to go wherever God sent him. Amen. Not only did Paul go, but his whole team seems to have joined in and gone along with him. Amen. I'm simply saying God's looking for somebody to go. Will you? Can you hear that Macedonian call? Amen. I'm afraid sometimes some of us might look for an easy way to get out by just giving. And God wants givers. But He also wants goers.
Amen.
We need givers. But we need goers. And I say this, I put this note here. I am not trying to call anybody. I'm simply asking the question. I'm trying to obey God. And I'm asking, can you hear the Macedonian call? Is God calling you? One more story and I'm concluding. I read about where that a beggar approached a Catholic priest. Again, this was a few decades ago. A few centuries ago. A beggar approached a Catholic priest, a friar as they were known in those days, begging for help. He asked the priest if he would give him a pound, speaking of money, their type of money. The priest refused. He asked him, would he give him 1 shilling? The priest refused. He asked the priest, would you give me a penny, a single penny? And the priest refused. The man asked the priest then, said, sir, would you give me a prayer? And the priest said, let's bow and I'll pray. And the man said, no, sir, because if you thought your prayer was worth a penny, you would not spare it me. Listen, God wants people to give, but He also wants people to pray. But He don't want us hiding behind giving or hiding behind praying. He wants us doing the will of God. That's my point. Doing the will of God. I mean, people need prayer. People need finances. But they need more than just prayer and finances. Amen. Amen. I do know that missionaries need prayer. I do know missionaries need our finances to be able to go over and do whatever God's called them to do. But don't hide behind your prayer. Don't hide behind your finances. Let's ask God, Lord, help me see. By the way, it may not be to a foreign country. You may get to sit in your same pew every Sunday. God may just want you to go to somebody around you. God may just want you to get a burden to pray for somebody. Maybe in the same area where you're sitting. Pray for somebody that they'd get the help they need from the Lord. We have heard the Macedonian call. That's what the song says. I want to ask you, can you hear it? Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as we give an invitation altar call. Can you hear the Macedonian call? Can you hear the Macedonian call? There's sinners out there. They need the gospel. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to have a humble spirit that we wouldn't be satisfied with just our family being in church. Lord, there's some of my family need to be more faithful to church than they are. Lord, help us not just be satisfied with the fact that our family's made professions. Lord, we have family members that haven't made professions. And I'm not just looking for that. I'm looking for them to know God. And I want them to know Him like I know Him. And Lord, they need to know how I know You. Help me, Lord, to get over that fear. Get over that trepidation. Get over that bashfulness. Get a burden for sinners. Help me, Lord, like that man. Paul saw that man. Paul heard that man. Paul loved that man. Paul went after that man. Lord, help us to do the same, to bring You glory and honor. Bless in the invitation time. Help those that are praying, whether in the pew or around the altar. Lord, help them to get what they came for. Get their need met from God. If there be somebody unsaved, Lord, I pray they'd call on Jesus today. Though I've not preached to them particularly about that, Lord, I'm glad that the hope for drunkards is Jesus, and the hope for druggies is Jesus, and the hope for gamblers is Jesus. The hope for Sunday school boys and girls is Jesus. He can wash their sins away no matter how black or dark or stained their garment may be. He can give them a new garment of salvation. They can put on the new man and be washed in the blood of Jesus, made a new creature in Christ Jesus, if they'll only repent and believe the gospel. Father, I pray draw them to that point. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing as we do. Would you like to come around the altar and pray?